Generally speaking, materially speaking, we have some concept of what happiness is. But we find something extraordinary in Krishna consciousness, that just the opposite of the mundane conception is what provides the greatest type of spiritual joy. And this is demonstrated to the extreme and personified in the personality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's demonstrated in his life and teachings. We hear in the Vedic literature that Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's an ocean of ecstasy personified. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. How beautiful is Krishna? How attractive is Krishna? If 10 million cupids were to merge into one personality, he has that type of beauty, that kind of compelling, seductive beauty and attractiveness. Therefore, the name Krishna means all attractive. He is ecstasy personified, beauty personified, sweetness personified. Everyone, either directly or indirectly, is searching for Krishna. Just as when we published the first book of Srila Guru Maharaj, he gave it the title, The Search for Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful. Up to that point, we heard regularly and preached regularly, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that one has achieved the human form of life, after wandering the length and breadth of the universe, traversing 8,400,000 species of life, evolving at last to human life, that one should inquire about internal necessity, beyond ahara, nidraya, bhaya, maitunam cha, external necessities, eating, sleeping, sex, protection. In the human form of life, in addition to that, what separates the human beings from the animals is internal development, education, culture. What kind of culture? Spiritual culture, brahma jigyasa. This was the general tenor of what we heard and what we reproduced. But when we came in connection with Srila Guru Maharaj, a revolution of inner awareness and development took place. So you will find in the preface, Srila Guru Maharaj saying, Brahma Jigyasa, that is a dry thing. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would also say, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. This is the statement of Mayavadis, actually. I am spirit, I am spirit, I am spirit. I said, will that satisfy you? Just knowing that you're spirit? Reiterating, I am spirit, I am spirit. Will that satisfy you? So Guru Maharaj said, Brahma Jigyasa, that is a dry thing. Now is the time for Rasa Jigyasa, to inquire about what is that inner necessity of the heart. What substance does the heart seek? Srila Guru Maharaj says, the heart is a tasting machine. We see it pumping blood and life to the body, the physical heart, but the spiritual heart is a tasting machine. It's searching for a particular type of nectarine substance that is intrinsic to its well-being and existence. Its raison d'être, its reason for being, is to taste satyam shivam sundaram, sat chit anandam, ananda. We exist, as Descartes said, you know, cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. So we're conscious of our existence, but with that comes a third awareness, is why do I exist? I'm searching for something. There's something I'm looking for. that's driving, the driving force of existence. Freud has identified this as the sexual principle. The whole mundane existence is being driven by the sexual principle. But we find in Mahaprabhu's teachings, Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception, that the spiritual existence is being driven by the origin of this. What we find in the material world, we're told, is a perverted reflection of the spiritual domain. So, if this is the driving principle here, it must be the illuminating principle there. But we hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kam Andatama, Prem Nirmala Bhaskar. Lust is dense ignorance. Prem, divine love, is dense light. It's also dense, which means it's multi-layered, it's multi-dimensional. There are gradations of divine love. So, ostensibly, one would think Krishna, everyone's Krishnanu Sandhan, as Guru Maharaj said, now Rasa Jigyasa, inquire about the heart's inner necessity for Rasa, which means a loving relationship with the supreme entity, Krishna, the all-attractive personality of Godhead. So Krishnanu Sandhan, we should be searching for Krishna. But one would think that that being established, that nothing could compare to the joy of finding Krishna, uniting with Krishna. But mysteriously, peculiarly, extraordinarily, we find in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he's mining the depths of separation. He's repeatedly tasting the mood, Srimati Radharani's mood of separation. When we speak of Krishna consciousness, Krishna is not Krishna conscious. He's Krishna. Krishna consciousness means Srimati Radharani. She is the personification of Krishna consciousness. All Krishna consciousness is but an extension of her divine melted heart being extended to others. As Guru Maharaj says, faith is the halo of Radharani. She reveals Krishna. She is Krishna consciousness personified. But her Krishna consciousness, Srila Saraswati Thakur has told us, predominating moiety, predominated moiety. Krishna is the predominating half of the Absolute. Radharani is the predominated half of the Absolute. He is Rasa Raj, she is Mahabhav. He is the king, Rasa King, she is the emotional queen. The queen of emotions, of divine emotion. That emotion, we hear, reaches its greatest intensity, greatest depth of heart, in separation. When she is separated from Krishna, that penetrates a deeper region of heart than even being united with Krishna. Being united with Krishna is inconceivable. But as inconceivable as that is, being separated from Krishna reaches, penetrates a deeper region of the heart, greater depth, and produces an inconceivable type of ecstatic joy in the heart of the devotee. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was on the Brajamandal Parikrama with his disciples, many, many things came out from that. One thing he was engaged in is something called Ruchi Pariksha. He was examining the respective tastes of his disciples. But they were also being exposed to some revolutionary Krishna conception from him as was the norm. Guru Maharaj once saying, our Guru Maharaj's statements were mostly revolutionary. Not occasionally, mostly. Which means whatever they had conceived of Krishna consciousness up to that point, his Krishna conception was so dynamic in its ever unfolding realization that they would be compelled to reconceive once again. Nitya Navana Maya Mana. This is the meaning of the Krishna being an ever fresh, ever new, ever revelatory infinite. There's no nostalgia in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes the devotees say, oh, they were remembering some good old days. I said, the good old days were 500 years ago. Anyway, so at that time, Saraswati Thakur, one disciple asked him, he said, we hear in scripture that when Srimati Radharani, when they're engaged in the Rasa Leela, there are billions and trillions of gopis assembled there. This is Krishna's enjoying capacity. Billions and trillions of the most inconceivably beautiful women composed of, what? Spiritually dedicating substance, not flesh. But in their presence, he's the king, Rasaraj. He can enjoy unlimitedly. But Srimati Radharani, seeing in this inconceivable phalanx of gopis engaged in rasa with Krishna, felt, oh, I'm being treated as if one of the group. So, Guru Maharaj's deities, we know, are known as Guru Gauranga Gandharvika Giridhari. Why Gandharvika? You see, because Radharani, she's the most extraordinary singer and dancer to ever enchant Krishna. So seeing that she's being taken as one of the group, she displays the most extraordinary singing and dancing to the astonishment of one and all, Krishna of course included, and then leaves in a huff. And Krishna, perhaps stunned and not knowing, he sees after a while that although he's in the presence of a trillion gopis, the quality of the experience has diminished. What is the cause? Radha Madaya Hridaye Tatyaja Braja Sundari, realizing that Srimati Radharani has left, Krishna rejects all the others and goes to search for her. This is how Ramananda Roy establishes the position of Srimati Radharani. Her qualifications are such that she can counsel a trillion gopis. This hints at her qualifications. And Krishna, searching for her, finds her. And she says, oh, I can't go any further. He carries her for some time, then sets her down in one place and vanishes. A disciple of Srila Saraswati Thakur named Parbat Maharaj referenced this to Srila Saraswati Thakur and asked for an explanation. We know Srila Saraswati Thakur's Barsha Banabi Devi Doita Das, an exclusive servitor of Srimati Radharani, found this intolerable to even hear this, because here she's being apparently slighted in some way. That's intolerable to her most exclusive serving group. So a little hot, he said, why do you mention this? What devotion is to be found there? Devotees are always trying to find that point where devotion is established. When is devotion established? When the infinite becomes subordinate to the finite. Not that we shall ever consider Srimati Radharani as the finite, but understand the principle. When Krishna comes under the control of the devotee, that is the point of emphasis. So here, this apparently contradicts that. So Saraswati Thakur said, why are you mentioning this? So he wouldn't respond, he avoided responding, they left it. But when this was brought to the attention of Srila Guru Maharaj, ever the perfect servitor insistent, he knows Srimati Radharani's position is primary. As Srila Saraswati Thakur told him in that same Brajamandal Parikrama, that there are those who appreciate Krishna as supreme and in the primary position, and Radharani is secondary, but because she is dear to Krishna, they're worshipping her. But we are just the opposite of that. We are Shuddha Shaktas. In our conception, she's in the primary position, and Krishna is secondary. And because she has some interest with him, therefore we're dealing with Krishna. Otherwise not. Her interest, necessity, is our only service interest. So, Guru Maharaj knows her position. So, he finds in the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur is commenting on this section, he mentions that really Krishna had a purpose in mind. He vanished while her eyes were closed and hid himself in the bushes to observe her candidly. He wanted to see, in my absence, what happens to her. In my absence, what sort of mood she will express. And what he saw astonished him, astounded him. He saw Srimati Radharani plunged in the depths of separation and exhibiting her divine madness. What we hear described in the Bhagavatam as the Brahmar Gita. When Krishna sends Uddhava from Dwarka to console the separation of Radharani and the Brajagopis. At that time, when Uddhava's delivering his message, Radharani spins off in divine madness and sees a black and yellow bumblebee who she takes to be Krishna or the messenger of Krishna and starts venting 10 different types of divine madness in separation. This Krishna saw at this time and then developed an irresistible, uncontrollable eagerness in his own heart to embrace her position, to become like her. So Krishna consciousness and Krishna consciousness, the Krishna consciousness of union and separation, is so exalted that it can convert Krishna into a devotee of Krishna. So, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subolitom Nomi Krishna Sarupam. Krishna descended as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to relish the position of Srimati Radharani. Srila Guru Maharaj describes Radha Bhava Kanti as he steals her heart, and the influence of her heart creates a halo, Shama Sundar, Krishna of the dark black beauty, stealing the heart of Radharani. The radiance of her heart converts him into Gauranga, where his body is now golden and radiant. Rupa Goswami says something about her golden radiance that it's so extraordinary that gold, seeing her, feels pain. painful beauty, beauty to the point of painfulness, that beautiful. Aparam kasyapi pranayi janavrindasya kutuki rasotstamam hritva maduram upaboktam kamapiya rucham swam avavre dutim tariyam satedanya devaskiti aratitaram na kripayatu. Rupa Goswami in the Chaitanyastakam says, serving this multitude of these trillions of gopis, so this one stands out as supreme. He stole her heart so that he could experience what she experiences, what she finds attractive into him. And specifically, his target is the deepest feelings in her heart, which are only revealed at the time of separation. So we find that Sriman Mahaprabhu, two times, two leelas, he is mining repeatedly and repeatedly relishing and tasting that. What is that? When Guru Maharaj says, the intensity of the necessity of service draws remuneration, that means Kurukshetra. After 100 years of separation, at last the opportunity is there to meet. We discussed this before in our, perhaps the last talk about Jagannath Rath Yatra. We find that Mahaprabhu is repeatedly relishing this point, which is a separation zenith, and the other being the Brahmar Gita, the divine madness of Srimati Radharani. And we see this Rath Yatra was a public celebration, and even there he's unable to control himself, but the Brahmar Gita mood, which we can say really truly is the zenith of separation, he relishes behind closed doors with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy. And we're told, how significant is this? How mad was he to taste this? That for the last 12 years of his life, he was relishing this mood 24 hours a day for 12 years. So, Krishna Prem is not a thing of this world. It is the antithesis of what we conceive of as enjoyment. But this is the extraordinary gift of Mahaprabhu. Jadi gorna hoita, tabaki hoita, kamori tari dam dehe, radhar mahima, prema rasasima, jagata janata ke. Vasudev Ghosh says in this soya, if Gauranga had not come, we would have never known radhar mahima, the real, truly, the glories of Srimati Radharani, and prema rasasima, the limits of Krishna prema. So, having some connection with this divine substance through service is our aspiration. Those Vaishnavas who embody this, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, our Guru Varga. This is so wonderful. Our raison d'etre is to somehow assist and serve those who are in substantial connection with that plane. We'll be happy with that. That is the good fortune of everyone in connection with this Krishna consciousness movement. How much of this we can understand, it is infinite. But we see from the very beginning of our connection, Srila Prabhupada mercifully engaging devotees in Rath Yatra, we don't know what is this. But we're helping make the chariot, make a flower garland, sing in the kirtan, honor the prasadam. We don't know just like a patient suffering from a disease who's given some extraordinarily powerful medicine. They don't know what that is. But then the effects are like radiation. With radiation, you may not know that you've been infected. But the experts can tell. Those who have the instruments to detect, they can tell when there's radiation poisoning. So, why do we say poison? For many reasons. But one is, in this sense, we're speaking metaphorically here, but there's something to be learned, that sometimes separation is compared to snake bite. The effects of snake bite. We know, what is the antidote for snake bite? Is cobra venom. You're bitten by a cobra? Cobra venom will cure you. Then it's amrita. It's life-giving nectarine substance. For one who is not suffering from snake bite, it's poison. For one who is not experiencing separation from Krishna, truly, the pastimes of the union of Radha and Krishna are like poison. For one who is experiencing separation from Krishna, those pastimes are the most inconceivable nectarine substance. So, Shwadhan Vato Nushunayad Artavarnayedya. We're told to hear this only from the spiritual experts. It is a culture of faith, not an intellectual exercise. It is a faith-based proposition. And one can only get a proper conception of Krishna consciousness from someone who has connection with a substantial Vaishnava and some capacity to represent that. That is the culture of faith. Just as the X-ray reveals what's beneath the surface, the culture of faith takes us beyond the superficial aspects of language, words, descriptions, etc. The substance is not there. It lies within the pure mood and will of representation. When Krishna infuses the statements of his pure devotees with this nectarine substance, then we can have some connection with that. Otherwise, it is all sham, a shell, hollow, insubstantial, placebo. It's not the real thing. Avaishnava mukodgiranam putam harikatam ritam svavanam naiva kartavyam sarpochistam yathapayo. Srila Sanatana Goswami Prabhu says, not to hear Krishna katha from anyone and everyone. Someone might counter by saying, no, we heard in the Gopi Gita, tava katham ritam tapta jivanam kavibir iditam kamasa apaham svavanam mangalam srimad atatam bhuvi grananti te bhuri dajana. This is that life-giving nectarine substance. One who's giving this to others is giving the most substantial things. They're doing the ultimate welfare work in this world. What are you talking about? We shouldn't hear this? Sanatana Goswami says, Shravanam naiva kartavyam. Do not hear rasa katha, Krishna katha, from someone who is not a substantial Vaishnava. And he gives one very powerful example. He says, that so-called harikatha, rasakatha, is like milk that's touched by the lips of a serpent. Ostensibly it looks like milk, but it's been turned into poison. One such person who made a living talking about Krishna and his pastimes with the gopis, wanted to read the Bhagavatam before Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Babaji Maharaj is always avoiding. But somehow people persisted and arranged us. Afterwards, everyone was looking to Babaji Maharaj for a reaction. And he shocked them when he said, "Get some cow dung and cleanse this place." They were thinking, "What? We've heard wherever the Bhagavatam is spoken, that place is purified. The speaker is purified, the audience is purified, the very place in which the transaction takes place is purified." And Babaji Maharaj is saying, "Get cow dung and cleanse this place," as this something vile and polluting just took place here. What is this? Those people could have said in his defense, "Oh, we have a recording of what he told." But Babaji Maharaj said, "You heard Krishna Katha. All I heard was money, money, money. It's all about motive. It's motive. Ahoy tukya pratyata. Anya bilashita shunyam gana karma dinavritam. It's all about motive." That person's followers could say, "We have a tape. We've got a transcript. Gurudev said nothing. I assure you, he didn't mention money once." It's not in the superficial aspect of the representation, but the substance is within. It's all about motive. Why do you have to get the mantram from a substantial Vaishnava? Because Krishna's will is infusing his distribution of that substance. It's not a superficial transaction. So, how important is it to have a connection with a pure devotee? How will we know who is a pure devotee? Srila Guru Maharaj once said, "Who's got recognition from a Vaishnava is a Vaishnava." So, we all agree, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is a Vaishnava. Srila Saraswati Thakur is a Vaishnava. That Srila Saraswati Thakur, examining Srila Guru Maharaj, said, "He's carrying the conception of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He is Rupa Nugadara. He represents me fully." That sort of recognition is extraordinary. And that's how we can understand who is a substantial Vaishnava. That Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami in turn gave such recognition to His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami. Therefore we can understand He is a substantial Vaishnava. From them we can get the proper conception of Krishna, Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception, and understand what is the Rupa Nuga line. So, I am fortunate to vibrate these words, and I understand the good fortune of those who hear. And this is not self-endorsement, but is the glory of our Guru Varga. I'm a man from the gutter. But by coming in connection with Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Gurudev, I can understand at least they've exposed me to such inconceivable wealth. And it's my good fortune from time to time to be compelled to represent this. So my humble plea to you all is to give your attention to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My representation, admittedly, is a blasphemy compared to what the actual substance is. But I recall we heard when we were so young, Srila Prabhupada liked to quote this one verse of Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur from Sri Chaitanya Chandramritam. He says, "Dante nitaya chanakam parayor nipatya pitba chakaku ahang itad satam brinimi. Hey, sarva sakla eva vihaya durat chaitanya chandra charane kurutanuragan." says, "My dear sir, you're so exalted, you're so educated, you're so qualified in so many ways. I have one request to make of you, and I know that being that you're so generous, you'll also grant this request. Please, forget everything you know. Forget everything you know, and turn your attention to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you will find inconceivable wealth there. There is the entranceway to Vrindavan. Yata yata gora padara vinde vinde ta bhaktin krita punirasi tata tatot sarpati hridya kazmat radha padamboju sudamburasi. You will find, if you dedicate your energy to the service of the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and his, our Guru Varga, automatically, subconsciously, deep from within the core of your heart, will spring, begin to flow, the Radha Rasa Shuddha Nidhi, the nectarine, inconceivably nectarine service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. That means you'll awaken and find yourself within the soil of Vrindavan. Radha Padmankitadam Vrindavan Jaranam. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, how do you know when you're in Vrindavan? Is there a sign? Some sign? Like we see signs everywhere. Welcome to so and so. You see a sign. Now entering such and such. You always see a sign when you're in the general area, and then more specific signs. So we're told, Vrindavan, land of Krishna, right? Nanda Yashoda, Vraja Gopis, Vraja Gopas. But how do we know when we're in that ultimate domain? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Radha Padmang Kitadam Vrindavan Jaranam. The sign that you'll see is that chinmoy substance, that spiritually conscious soil that's enriched with dedication to the extreme. It's embellished by the inconceivably beautiful lotus footprints of Srimati Radharani. Then you know you're in Vrindavan. So Radha Dasyam, the service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, is the aspiration of all of the genuine followers in the line of Sriman Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, and our Guru Varga. Asha Bare Amrita Sindhu Mayi Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamitas Kila Sampratamhi Tam Chait Kripa Mayi Vidasa Shinai Vakimme Prane Vrajena Chaboro Rubukarinapi. Srila Guru Maharaj says that Srila Saraswati Thakur would not make a public display of spiritual emotion. Meticulously, he removed a tear if it started to appear. But that Saraswati Thakur, when singing this sloka of Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Guru Maharaj said, his face would become like that of a phantom, and sometimes he would begin to cry profusely, uncontrollably. And what is he expressing there? Service aspiration. Asha vare amrita sindhu mayi katancha. Somehow, Das Goswami says, somehow I've been dragging on in life. What gave meaning to my life? The aspiration that one day I would get the service of your holy lotus feet. This is his prayer to Srimati Radharani. Said, but in the absence of such a prospect, my life is meaningless. And even that which is more valuable than my life, Vrindavan, is of no use to me. And I know this is a shameful thing to say, But without you, Krishna is a dreadful thing. He is the Prayojan Tattva Acharya, showing the indispensable necessity of the culture of Radha Dasyam, or the service of the lotus feet of Radharani, for those aspiring in this line. How does that translate practically? Her delegation is Sri Guru, Gurudev. The service of the lotus feet of Guru are non-different than the service of her holy feet. We give our full attention to the service of the Vaishnava here. Dasasyate mama rasastu rasastu satyam, sakayame mama namostu namostu nityam. Intimacy is worshipable to us. Pujala ragapat gaurava bhange. That is not our concern. But dasya, dasyasyate mama rasastu rasastu satyam. Always giving our focus to the least service. Why are we told that Lalita Sakhi is so qualified? In Gaur Lila, Lalita Sakhi is Srup Damodar, described as Mahaprabhu Ditya Kalevra, Mahaprabhu the second, his second self. Why is she so qualified? Rupa Goswami praises her in Lalita Astakam. Radha Mukunda Parabindu Imanchino Purkarani Kritadeho Laksham Utunga Sohrda Vishesha Prasat Pargalvam Devim Gunai Sulalitam Lalitam Namami Radha Mukunda Parasambhava Garabindu. That she possesses the greatest magnitude of eagerness to perform the least service. This is Krishna consciousness. The greatest magnitude of eagerness to perform the very least service. Krishna consciousness is always measured by the inverse, not ostentatious displays of achievement, but finding oneself in want, in need, hungering, hankering. Once someone said to Srila Guru Maharaj, how to get that hunger, that thirst? He said, associate with the thirsty. He said, that germ that the thirsty man has, you need to get that in you. Now we're come again to the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. He said, he gave two examples to help us understand this. He said, one was Napoleon, the other Hitler. This is the brilliance of his analogies. In terms of obstacles on this path, said Napoleon said, Alps, what Alps? When the troops said, what do we do about the Alps? What Alps? He doesn't see Alps. He has this do or die determination. And Hitler, when they said, what? He said, if the Alps gets in your way, blow it up. So Guru Maharaj said, so the mood and sentiment and feeling of the general is infused in the soldiers. So the mood and sentiments of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Saraswati Thakur, infused in Srila Guru Maharaj, infused this mood in Srila Govinda Maharaj, who is infusing this mood in all of his genuine followers. So we can only become the cause of our own misfortune. Having their connection, such a wonderful, inconceivable opportunity lies before us. Let us not become the cause of burning the lotus of our own good fortune by deceiving ourselves into trying to purchase Krishna consciousness cheaply. Atmanivedanam. What is diksha? What is initiation substantially? Diksha kale bhaktakori atma samarpan. When the disciple offers themselves heart and soul to Guru, that is really diksha or initiation. Utunga sohrda vishesha vishat pagalbam. those who are prepared to sacrifice themselves, to approach the extremes of self-sacrifice, transcending that to the extremes of self-forgetfulness, they're qualified to be taken in to that higher domain. And this is sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Saraswati Thakur, Rupa Nuga Guru Varga. And all glories to all of you there, Bhuvan Mohan Prabhu and his serving group.
Bhakti Sundara Goswami Maharaj, we're all enchanted here. It's right here in our home, in Brazil, touching our hearts with your sincere devotion, Maharaj.
Oh, Prabhu, you're too kind to me. Your hearts are enchanting. For those who have appreciation for Mahaprabhu's gift and Guru Maharaj's gift, such a beautiful heart they must possess. So we have to bow our heads in appreciation. Hare Krishna. So I'm now going to meet with His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, and tell him about our little meeting here. And he, Maharaj, his face is like a smiling lotus, full of joy every time he hears this. And I want you all to look forward to the time in the near future when you can expect to not only hear him, but see him. We're just a few steps away from Harikatha video conference. So, and we're closing in on it. And Gurudev's eager. He's also eager.
This is our Vaishnava TV.
Yes.
5 TV.
Yeah. Ontological television.
Yes, it's ontological.
Devotees.
To convey our full dandavats of all the devotees here in Sao Paulo.
Yes.
The Divine Lotus Feet of Shiva Gurudeva, and we are always aspiring to be serving and to have the opportunity to serve him here in this so far away. I think it's the farthest away place in Europe.
You remember the time when I was leaving Navadvip for California, and Guru Maharaj said to me, "Oh, now you're going to some remote corner of the world?" And I went, "I'm going to California." And then he turned to me and he said, "Navadvip is your home. This is the seat of Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception." And I realized, oh gosh, he's right. I'm actually going to some... California is a remote corner of the world. It's far away from Navadvip. But then he told me that example of when Rupa Goswami could not accompany Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu told him, "You want to be with me? Then do what I say. And I'll always be with you." So... you're there, as you say, ostensibly a remote corner of the world, but you're ordered by Guru Maharaj to go on with this divine transaction of the distribution of Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception. And certainly he's there with you, and our Guru Varga, and they're all, wherever this sort of transaction goes on, they're to be found there. So you're sanctifying San Paulo. My dandavats to you, Bhuvan Mohan Prabhu, and all the devotees there.
My dandavats to you, Maharaj, from all the devotees here, Bhakti Supreme
Goswami Maharaj. Seva Brindaki Jai, Bhakta Brindaki Jai, Nitai Gopramanande, Haribol.